The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
James Harden rejects the Rockets' extension of $103 million over the next 2 years, would become the first $50 million a year player in history. Not just in NBA history, is that there's not been a player in any major American team sport who's made $50 a year on average. Not one, not that I can think of. Major League Baseball, the highest average annual, at least until recently, was Mike Trout's extension, I believe. Giancarlo Stanton was up there, but even some of the pitchers like Gerrit Cole, I don't think of any $50 million guys, and neither in the NFL. He'd have the highest average annual salary in the history of American team sports. James Harden turned it down. Told Fertitta, I'm out. Doesn't want to be there. Look. What do you do if you're Fertitta? Do you deal him where he wants to go? You know, I think there are some players who you're like, all right, look, I'm going to take care of you. Like, for example, when Steve Nash wanted to go to the Lakers at the end of his career, why would you trade him to a division rival, right, if you still think he had something left? And I think they did think he had something left. Turns out he didn't. But why would you do it? Because Steve Nash could credibly go to the owner and say, look, I didn't ring chase. I've been here the whole time. I've represented the city and the team well. I've given you my all. I'm 40 years old. We're not in a position to win right now, and they are. Would you send me there? That's legit, and I think the owner would be like, yeah, all right, let's do him. Even if I don't love him playing for the other team, he's right. But James Harden, I don't know if Fertitta would be motivated to trade him to Brooklyn. Like, hold up, you're turning down $50 million plus a year from me and telling me you want to go to, well, what's Brooklyn? Brooklyn's not going to give me Kyrie. Why would I do it? But I had a thought about this. Let's say Brooklyn wants, they're not going to break Harden down into component parts, right? Like, they're not going to say, here, we'll give you Harden. Give us Caris LeVert, who's a nice player, and Dinwiddie, who's also pretty good, and some draft picks, right? But what if it was Ben Simmons? Would you trade Harden for Simmons? I would. If Simmons' health checks out, you know? Well, how do you do that? Because Simmons doesn't play for the Nets, and I love Harden in Philly. I love Harden and Embiid. I like that a lot because that's a guy who wants to be competitive and is like, if Harden goes with Embiid and they win a championship, what Harden will have proved is he has a case for best player in basketball, right? Because just one more superstar and other pieces. If he goes to Brooklyn and they win a championship, what did he really prove? That we already know he's an MVP caliber player. So, yeah, if he joins another MVP-caliber player and another guy close to it all on the same team, no kidding you're supposed to win a championship after a couple of years. Duh. He didn't prove anything. So I'd rather see him in Philly. But let's say he really wants to get to the Nets. Do the Nets have a package? Could you do a three-way trade where it's in everyone's best interest? I think yes, actually, the more I've been thinking about it. If Simmons is coming off an injury, and you think, yeah, Simmons and Embiid are better off apart. It's not that they don't play very well together. It's that they'd be better off apart. Could the combination of LeVert and Dinwiddie and draft picks get Ben Simmons out of me? Yeah, I would think not only that, hey, Nets, could we arrange it so you take this Tobias Harris or Al Horford contract off my hands? The funny thing is, Harris and Horford have some value as players. It's just Horford has no value as a four. I was shocked when I found out Horford couldn't play the four. And it turns out he hasn't played the four at any level of his career, amateur or pro. Now think about this. Think of Horford's skill set. He can face the basket. He can shoot the three. He can shoot a mid-range. He can play in the post. He can defend in the post. He can block shots. He can defend out in space. He can pass the ball. He can take the ball up the floor if you need him to. He can't play the four? What? But he can't. He's terrible. He's a five. They figured Horford next to Embiid. I thought the same thing. Horford's so versatile. It's perfect. He can play next to anyone. No, he can't. But could he still play the five even though he hasn't looked? I'll bet you. I'll bet you in the right situation, Horford still has value there. He just doesn't have value compared to his contract. But if you can match the contracts up, maybe. Maybe, because Simmons makes a lot of money. Wait, what did I just say? No, you can't take back both contracts if you're the Nets. But anyway, in a three-way deal, you may be able to do something. I haven't thought this through well enough. The point is, Dinwiddie, LeVert, and draft picks, maybe that's the centerpiece of a deal for Simmons. Maybe. The Nets get some shooting and playmaking around Embiid. Sorry, the Sixers do. The Nets get Simmons, who they can swap for Harden. And the Rockets wind up with Simmons, who is like a five, at least a 4.5-carat diamond. Like a really special player for Harden. Something like that. Damn, I was so close. I was thinking, yeah, Horford. Wait, Horford doesn't match up salaries with Simmons. They're both on the same team. That's why I'm not a GM, Raj. Dr. Pepper, call in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. But could you imagine? Like, there's so many. Think about what's going on in sports right now. Chicago. The Bears are the passion of that town. Forget about Reinsdorf screwing up the White Sox with La Russa. Or Epstein leaving the Cubs. Baseball is like, you know, that's. But Chicago's not, like, has crazy about baseball. They like baseball in Chicago. They like basketball in Chicago. But it's football town. And the Bears can't get the quarterback right. Think about Brooklyn. These are major markets, right? Think about Brooklyn. No championship since 1955 in Brooklyn. In a basketball-obsessed city, no championships of any kind since 1976, and that was in the ABA. That was Dr. J's Nets. No NBA championships since 73. And you have a team in Brooklyn that already has Kyrie and KD and might also have James Harden? Oof. A lot going on right now. Drew Brees, by the way. Drew Brees. I got a lot to say about Drew Brees. Hold your horses on Drew Brees. But can you imagine Drew? Well, I'll tell you in a second. See, I'm teasing them, Raj. Sammy in Missouri. See how I said that? Like I'm really from Missouri. What's up, Sammy?
Yeah, actually, nobody pronounces Damn. Missouri like that. But if I was the owner to the Rockets, I would go to H-E double toothpicks before I trade James Harden. Like, who trades an MVP player in his prime?
So you're going to lose him to free agency?
But
You'd rather lose him for nothing. Wait, you would rather get nothing for James Harden than a lot for him?
First off, he's not even an unrestricted free agent to what, 2 years or something like that? Like, he better play this next year. I don't know where you think he's going. You better take him to the space station down in Houston and tell him, like, hey, I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Like, you about to play here.
You just hit a C above C. You must be serious. His voice went up and never came down for that, Raj.
Hey,
he's not an unrestricted free agent for 2 years. He better play through this contract.
Too good of a player for you just to trade away, man.
Like, yeah, but I hear what you're saying. But listen, the bottom line is if a dude's not bluffing, if you're like, okay, let me see if he's serious. I'll give you $103 million over the next 2 years. And he says, keep your money. Then you have to know I'm going to lose him for nothing. And you'd rather get a lot for him than nothing for him unless you feel we're going to win a championship next year with James Harden. Because if you don't feel that way, like if it was an inflection point like that, a moment of incredibly high leverage where we're going to win a championship in the next 2 years with Harden, then okay, I understand you say, and then we'll lose him for nothing if he wants to leave. But in the meantime, we'll have a ring. That ain't the Rockets right now. Sammy in Missouri, it's not the Rockets. It's not Missouri, it's Missouri, Raj. It was news from Max Kellerman Nation. Sammy just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line to say, James Harden, really? 2 years more left on his contract? Not an unrestricted free agent?
I tell you what, if New Edition needs to replace Scoop Jackson, they can go to Sammy to hit that high note.
That's right. Scoop, can we see that picture of Scoop on ESPN Plus again? Do we have that ready? Look at this. This dude used to be in New Edition. I never knew. AJ in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's happening, man?
There he is, Scoop Jackson on ESPN Plus. You need to get ESPN Plus just to see Scoop Jackson. Trezvan knows guys, man. I don't know why he thought he'd make more money sports commentating. Go ahead. Go ahead. Who am I talking to right now? AJ?
AJ.
What's up, AJ?
Listen, as a longtime Bears fan, I appreciate you, you know, bringing this to the surface. But, man, this is ridiculous. How is it that the Packers, can they get their coach right, their GM right, their quarterback right? And us Bears, for how many years we've been suffering this? And then, look, you have someone like Ryan Pace.
Mm-hmm. Have we heard I brought up Ryan Pace on First Take today. That's right. Everyone's going at Nagy. Ryan Pace is the GM.
That's why I said I appreciate you bringing this to the table, because you're the only one that's doing it. No one else is calling this guy. He's the one that gave up the draft picks to go get Trubisky.
That's right. And you know why I'm the one doing it? Because I'm the heart and soul of Chicago, Raj, along with Philadelphia and Houston, obviously New York and L.A. I'm the voice of Chicago sports.
Mm-hmm.
Who else in the national media, AJ, who else in the national media is talking about Ryan Pace and bringing it to him and standing up for long-suffering Chicago Bears fans? Do you understand? I am almost 48 years old.
Not even Michael Wilbon, that's a Bears fan.
That's
right. Not even Michael Wilbon has the guts to get up there and say anything about
Ryan Pace. Well, he has guts, but that's not the point. The point is, I'm the one repping Chicago sports fans. I know you're listening to me on SiriusXM in Chicago.
And all the Bears fans appreciate it.
I'm glad they appreciate it. Bears fans, I'm telling you, there is no team in professional sports that means more to their fan base than the Bears mean to the Chicago fan base. None. I bring it up again. Saturday Night Live used to have one of the most famous skits, Da Bears. Like, even today, people who don't understand the reference have heard the reference, Da Bears. That was done through the Michael Jordan era. The Bears were giving them nothing. One championship in 85, greatest team ever. Michael Jordan, the biggest star and greatest athlete in the history of the world, in the history of Earth, Jordan's number one. And you have him in his prime with other Hall of Famers in two three-peats. He came back. Oh, my God, Jordan's back. Three-peated again. And not only that, the most exciting player, jumped the highest, ran the fastest, everything. And in the middle of that, SNL's doing skits, Da Bears, Chicago. Like, it's not that they didn't care about the Bulls. It's even through that, the Bears would. Mike Ditka, who was perceived as such a bad head coach to win a championship, that they carried off Buddy Ryan with him. Ditka was like, they used to talk about him in that skit. He was a god. Because they won a championship and they were giving you nothing. And yet, it wasn't about Jordan and the Bulls. It was about the Bears. And in this whole time, honestly, Jay Cutler's the best quarterback you had. Jay Cutler is not good. The best quarterback the Bears had? Kyle Orton. How many years was Kyle Orton the Bears quarterback? Or Rex Grossman? Are you joking? And then you trade up for Mitch Trubisky? He's fast. Trubisky is fast. He's very fast. That's great. He's very fast. He can outrun linebackers. Can't throw the ball down the field or read defense, but he can outrun linebackers. That's true. You should play him at another position. Remember how often they used to say that about black quarterbacks, Raj? Maybe he can be a wideout, even about Lamar Jackson. That's what I'm going to say about Trubisky. Maybe he can be a wideout. Play him at wideout. He might be a good wideout. Can he catch?
Look at that Warren Moon. Let's put him at cornerback.
Let's put him at corner. Warren Moon had to go to Canada.
That's a real story.
Warren Moon had to go to Canada. Mitch Trubisky was taking over Patrick Mahomes. And Deshaun Watson. Oh, my God. Bears fans are like, are you kidding? Raj, I'll bet you that there are racist Bears fans even who are like, let's get a black quarterback. Like, I don't.
It's time.
But you know what? But it's not about the race of the quarterback. It's about not excluding a group as a potential pool of talent, right? That's really what it's about. Although, I think the Bears draft, they had Jason Campbell for a minute.
But Washington drafted him, right?
Right.
But they had him.
I think the Bears had Campbell for a minute. He was a backup for a second. Maybe don't exclude an entire group of people. might be a good idea. Even teams like the New York Yankees, and for years the Yankees resisted integrating. And I'm a Yankees fan. This is before my time, of course. And they said, and when people said why, they said, we're winning the World Series every year. Why? Well, we have the best players. But you know what? That way of thinking, because they continued to exclude an entire group of people as potential candidates for positions, you know, Major League Baseball players, eventually teams like the Cardinals and others became dominant, and the Yankees spent a period of about 15 years stinking out the joint because they fell behind the times. Kevin in Kansas City, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I just want to know if you're dead serious or if you really think Nick Foles is an average quarterback. In my personal opinion, he's a below-average backup quarterback.
Look, if you want to argue who's a below-average starter, we can debate that. But a below-average backup? No. But look, Nick Foles, look at his career. He was the second-best quarterback in the Pac-12 only because Andrew Luck was in the Pac-12. He was better than Osweiler and better than Matt Barkley, who both made the NFL, and Osweiler was on a Super Bowl-winning team, and he started for a lot of that year. Nick Foles, when he got to the Eagles under Chip Kelly, went 8-2 as a starter, threw 27 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. So far, it's like he was excellent at Arizona. He was excellent with Chip Kelly on the Eagles. That's twice so far, right? Like, if he was below average, he couldn't really do that. However, under Jeff Fisher, he was no good. And with the Jaguars, he was no good, right? But in between, he was back with the Eagles, DeFilippo as the quarterback's coach, right? And he won a Super Bowl. He took over for Nick Foles, for Carson Wentz, who put him in a great position to have home field. But he was the one who took over and won every single playoff game, including Super Bowl MVP against Tom Brady. So that's 3 times now he did it. What about the next year? Carson Wentz was sub-500. The Eagles were under 500, dead in the water. Foles takes over the team when Wentz gets hurt again, the very following year after the Super Bowl. They catch fire. They make the playoffs. They go to Chicago, beat the Bears, who a lot of people were saying could come out of the NFC because their defense was so good. Beat the Bears at Soldier Field, go down to New Orleans where you can't win, right? And if the receiver turns around, Foles hit him in the chest. They might beat the Saints too. Well, and one Foles who lost that game. They came very close to beating the Saints after beating the on the road after beating the Bears on the road after getting played into the playoffs when they were dead in the water and under 500. That's 4 times Nick Foles did it. You can't say that's below average or it's fluke or luck. 4 different times? No. But Nick Foles is not the guy to put behind a bad offensive line and a thin receiving core. Not the right fit. Justin in Phoenix, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. So bottom line, the Bears are just allergic to good quarterbacks for whatever reason. Maybe they're trying to be like John Elway in Denver. But my point is, stop teasing me with Drew Brees. What you got to say, man? That's my boy. Is it good news? Is it bad news? You gonna talk crap about him? Or are you going to be nice?
This is what I'm going to tell you. That's a very good question.
When are you and Michelle going to have a reunion and get Sports Nation back together? I want to see that happen.
Well, Michelle's the homegirl for sure. Marcellus, the homeboy, of course. We used to do Max and Marcellus in L.A. on the radio for 6 years in afternoon drive. I don't know if there's going to be ever a Sports Nation reunion. Maybe. Who knows? I've never done a Around the Horn reunion show. I was the original host on that show. As it pertains to Drew Brees, is it good news or bad news, according to me? A lot of people would look at this crushed ribs and a collapsed lung, 40-plus years old, thinking about retiring last year, and say, boy, this is terrible. It might be, but...
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
All right. Can the Saints survive without Drew Brees? Sean Payton declined to answer any or to offer any updates on Brees' injury, on his status, or who might replace him at quarterback if he misses time, with obviously Jameis Winston, but also Taysom Hill as options. I mean, Sean Payton was on First Take before the Super Bowl talking about, you know, Taysom Hill could be his quarterback of the future. I don't know why they're so invested in tricking people into thinking Taysom Hill is a quarterback. I believed Sean Payton when he told me that. I'm like, okay, you're going to let Bridgewater go. Taysom Hill is cheaper. And I think Taysom Hill is, like, in a weird way, he's one of the best players in football, right? Like, it's just that when you think about Taysom Hill is very fast. He's very strong, like a rugged player. He can catch the ball, and he can really throw the ball. Like, damn, what else do you have to do? It's just somehow He doesn't have the skills in any one of those areas overall to be elite in any one of those areas. But he's highly competent in all of those areas. And somehow that means he's devalued as a player. In a way, he's kind of like OBJ. He's like Odell. Like, Odell can throw. Odell can catch. Odell can run. Odell can block if he needs to. He can hit a baseball if he needs to, right? But Odell Beckham Jr. has one skill, the ability to catch the ball, that's like different than everyone else's. Taysom Hill doesn't have that. He's just really good in a lot of different areas. But apparently, maybe can't read defenses well enough, quickly enough to be a quarterback. But Peyton tried to convince us on First Take that he was. I don't know, part of an effort to deceive people into thinking that, who knows, sometimes it's in a GM or a franchise's best interest to trick members of the media into believing they'll go in a certain direction to try and create the impression with other GMs that they will or other teams that they will, and that helps them do who knows what. But at any rate, most optimistic timetable for Drew Brees' return is 2 to 3 weeks. But the people involved are prepared for it to be longer than that, a source tells ESPN's Dan Graziano. Now, what is this, Raj? Marcus Spears? We have sound of Marcus Spears weighing in on it? I love Marcus Spears, but I'm talking about it now. Why am I being bothered in my ear about it? If I play this Marcus Spears, Marcus is my guy. He has a lot of good things to say, but I'm doing a thing. I'm giving my take right now.
Right, I want to see all of those practices that he's had a chance to amass, all of the sideline work that he's been able to do between Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and watching a Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever do it, operate at his job, and see if that influences how Jameis Winston's approach changes when he's installed into the football game.
Okay, Marcus Spears has a lot of great things to say. That's not what I was talking about right now, Raj and Jake. I can't
hear
you.
That Marcus Spears draw, that, you know, Drew Brees in practice. You didn't talk like that. See, Marcus Spears talks like that. That's fun.
Oh, it's also Louisiana's guy.
Louisiana, right? You want to hear that accent.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
That was fun when he said talks about it. All right, listen. Never do that again. Now listen. Drew Brees is over 40. He had ribs fractured on both sides and a collapsed lung. By the way, stayed in the game. Didn't take himself out of the game at first. This dude is so tough. What does this mean for the Saints? You see the Saints schedule coming up, a couple games with the Falcons. I'm forgetting who else off the top of my head. Roger, look up the schedule, the Saints schedule. They have 4 games. They should be favored in each game, even with Jameis. They should be favored in each game. Jameis went 7-9 as the starting quarterback, not the starting quarterback. I don't know what that means. But the starting quarterback of the Bucs last year went 7-9. So he's capable of keeping a good team around 500. So next week it's the Falcons, who have to visit New Orleans. You got to think the Saints are favored there with Jameis, right? Then the following week it's the Broncos. Saints visit the Broncos. Jameis could easily win that game. Then the Saints at the Falcons. Again, Jameis can win. Then the Saints at the Eagles. But let's say, in fact, Jameis only goes 2-2 in those games. Right? He's a huge drop-off from Drew Brees, only goes 2-2. Don't forget, when I talk about Jameis Winston giving the other team 112 points last year through 30 interceptions, he also threw 30 touchdowns and led the league in yards, over 5,000 yards. So there's some upside and some downside there, right? But those 4 games, I'd say Jameis Winston's easily 2-2 in those games. Don't forget, the Saints improved their defense at the trade deadline, brought in a number 2 receiver. Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders have missed time this year, but they're both back. And they still have Alvin Kamara. I mean, you put an NFL quarterback, even a backup, should be able to go 2-2 against a soft schedule with that team. Then there's the Chiefs. They're going to lose that game. Chiefs go to New Orleans. Saints will probably lose. So let's say people are like, they're saying 2 to 3 weeks. It's going to be more like 6 weeks. Okay, well, those are the next 5 games. So 6 weeks from now, let's say it's twice as long as the upper estimate of the injury for Drew Brees, right? They're saying 2 to 3. It winds up being 6. It winds up being 4 to 6, and it winds up being 6, not 4. Okay? Put the schedule back up, Raj. I was getting to that. So that means Drew, and let's say in those five games, they go 2-3 with Jameis Winston. Falcons twice, Broncos and Eagles. Winston, Jameis just goes 2-2, and then they lose to the Chiefs, 2-3. That's a 9-5 team. And then they come back, or Drew Brees gets back and plays the Vikings at home. And then who was it? The Panthers, I think? I'm going to say Drew Brees with this team beats the Vikings and the Panthers at home. That's a 10-win team. Maybe an 11-win team. Now think about this. Is Drew Brees going to be motivated, maybe unlike at any other time in his career, to win a championship? Because it is true, Stephen A. brought this up, maybe he's like a shot fighter, right? Like, damn, my lungs collapsed. Molly brought up on First Take, during COVID, you have a collapsed lung, messed up ribs, you're over 40, who needs this punishment, right? On the other hand, this may be his best chance. When you look at the team, he finally has got his number two receiver. They shored up the defense with Quan Alexander, the linebacker, at the trade deadline. This may be his best chance to win a Super Bowl since the Super Bowl championship, his second Super Bowl, and maybe his last season. Because if a guy's already talking retirement the previous season, he's got one foot out the door, right? Not that Drew Brees isn't committed, but he's already thought about it. So I think you get a more motivated Drew Brees than ever before. This is it, the last hurrah. And Jameis is good enough to win two or three of the next five games and put you at 9 wins at least, maybe even 10. 8, 9, at least 9 wins, let's say. And then Drew Brees comes back with just enough runway to get back in rhythm. Back, by the way, he's third in total QBR right now in the NFL. And with just enough runway against soft touch teams, last 2 weeks of the season, he hits the playoffs with new life, motivated, unlike at any time, because this could be it for him. Coming back from injury doesn't take anything for granted. Knowing he it's not just about Michael Thomas, he has Emmanuel Sanders. Knowing his defense for a dynamic offensive team is better than most dynamic offenses like have on defense. Knowing this could be it. I think he'll be more motivated than ever to win his second Super Bowl. So it's not good news for the Saints, of course. Although, 40-something-year-old quarterback who's worn down over the course of seasons. We've seen him in the playoffs make bad decisions and bad throws. He just looked physically beaten down. Maybe 5-6 weeks without playing football is just what the doctor ordered. Listen, no one wants a collapsed lung or broken ribs. But maybe not playing football for a month and a half is going to be good for Drew Brees and the Saints? Maybe? It's not over for the Saints, not yet. Next year is another story, but right now, the Saints are very live. And maybe in a way even more motivated than they were before this. Ooh, L.A. You hear what team AD says he plays for? Ooh, what does this mean?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
Anthony Davis joined Yahoo Sports Posted Up with Chris Haynes. In part one, it says C. Haynes. Raj, okay, is that the name of the podcast? In part one, he breaks down the Lakers acquisition of Dennis Schroeder, the point guard, and clarifies his current standing as a player. I haven't heard the sound, but I suppose Haynes was like, called him a Laker or something, and AD said, "I don't have a team, Chris," because he's a free agent. Why would he say that? Why would he leave L.A.? Well, he's not from L.A. Oh, shut up. You're a Los Angeles Laker. You got LeBron James. You're going to win another championship at least. You already got one. You want to be a billionaire and a legend? Or do you want to go home and make the playoffs and get bounced in the second round? No, are you insane? You want to leave the Lakers? 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 729-3776. Cody in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hello.
Go ahead, Cody.
Hey, how you doing, Max? I want to talk about the Knicks getting Russell Westbrook, and I think that's a total waste of time, I think.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem, Cody. The Knicks can't build through the draft because they don't know how to what they're looking at, and they don't know how to develop talent. This has been the history of their team. They don't know how to build through the draft. When Kristaps Porzingis fell into their laps, don't forget, the first three were set that year. Everyone knew Karl Anthony Towns was going one. Then D'Angelo Russell went two. And then Okafor went three. And those were the three college guys that everyone had seen. So those were the safe picks, right? Porzingis fell into their laps. Had the Knicks picked three, they would have taken Okafor, I'll bet. But anyway, Porzingis falls into their laps. A unicorn falls into their laps. And you know what they do? They alienate him to the point where he wants out on his rookie deal. He says, I got to get out of here. Never heard of something like this. No rookie ever forces his way out before, like, until 6.5 years in. 6 years in. Basically, the way the salary is structured is that there's too much money left on the table. So you always stay 6 years with your franchise. And if you really don't like it, your agent goes to the team before year six and goes, you might as well trade him now because he's going to sign away as a free agent in year seven somewhere else or after year seven. The Knicks couldn't even get to year six. 4 years in, he's like, get me out of here. Knicks can't build through the draft. You might as well sign Westbrook. Of course they're not going to win a championship, but that's not the goal, and it never will be under Dolan. Dan in Chicago, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, it's Dan from Chicago. How are you?
That has already been established, Dan, and I'm doing great.
Okay.
How are you?
I wanted to mention something real quick about the Chicago Bears. I was thinking about this, our quarterback carousel. Do you think the curse of the quarterback? I mean, we have Hall of Fame running backs, Walter Payton, Gale Sayers, Hall of Fame middle linebackers, which the Packers have neither of.
Yeah.
Do you think the fact that we can't get a good quarterback, but we get good running backs and middle linebackers, you know, Urlacher, Singletary, I mean, you go down the list. It's like maybe that's what makes up for the quarterback carousel. I mean.
Yeah, all right. But you know what? Between the linebackers and the running backs, I'll take a quarterback. Thanks. I'd rather be the Packers than the Bears in that equation. How much time do I have, Raj? Can I sneak in one more? No, 30 seconds left. That's it. Rob in North Carolina thinks Harden to the Nets is a terrible idea. Well, two ball stoppers on the team, but when the talent is stacked that high, it won't matter. I mean, it might matter in the sense that they won't win as much as they should, but if you have those three guys on the same team, you don't win a championship in 2 or 3 years, you know, that's unheard of. Two MVP caliber players and another All-Star. NBA draft is tomorrow. See if any trades come down. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.